Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is taken from the reading, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do your best to present yourself to God as a worker approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, approval. That is something which we want and which is good to have. A man who loves a woman and is visiting her parents for the first time wants their approval. Students like being approved by their professors and vice versa. And that approval is registered in various ways. A candidate running for office desires to be approved by the majority of voters. We are or will be workers in the church, whether as pastors, deaconesses, professors, or in some other capacity. Of greatest importance to each of us is to be a worker approved by God. What advice does the Apostle Paul give with regard to being such a worker? He said to Timothy, and he says to us, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved and rightly handle the word of truth." Paul encourages us, "Do your best to present yourself to God as a worker who has and will continue to receive his approval." Concerning this approval, Paul is not talking, of course, about our salvation. In that, we have no effort or part or contribution. It is entirely God's work. We are justified only by God's grace, simply through faith in Jesus Christ. That, though, is not what Paul is discussing. Rather, Paul is dealing with the area of sanctification, godly living, in which we have a part. He is reminding us that all the work that we do with and for people is work done before the Lord. So Paul advises, whatever your labor in the church is, do your best to be a worker who has God's approval. Now, if we are this type of worker, no glory comes to us. God, after all, is the one who brought us to faith, made us spiritually alive, and who preserves us in the faith and motivates and empowers our new person, which he created in us at our conversion, to do what is pleasing in his sight. All glory is to God alone. But because of this work of God in us, Paul can say to us, and specifically to our new person, do your best. Another way to put this is, be diligent. The Greek of our text has the nuance of a constant striving, of a persistent zeal. Doing our best to be approved by God means that we regularly will be in the Word and partaking of the sacrament for our own spiritual welfare. Through those means, God will motivate and empower our new person to maintain spiritual vigilance and constantly to be engaged in spiritual warfare. As a result, we will resist the devil and this evil world and crucify our flesh, that remnant of our original sinful nature. We will, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, discipline our bodies and keep them under control, lest after having preached to or taught others, we ourselves would be disqualified. Doing our best to be workers approved by God means that we will constantly be in prayer, asking God for the necessary courage and strength and wisdom. It means that we'll give our best efforts in our preparing for our preaching and teaching and counseling and other responsibilities. And then it means that we will carry out our work, always in love, with the utmost care. God will help each of us to do his or her best to be a worker approved by him, and then really to be that kind of a servant. The word approved in our text was used of coins which were tested for purity of metal and for adequate weight, and then were found to be acceptable. By God's grace and power, we will be found to be sterling. Therefore, as Paul writes, we will have no need to be ashamed. As for the results of our labor, that is God's business. He will bless our work as he wills. All that is required of us as workers in the church is that, to borrow Paul's phraseology from 1 Corinthians, we prove to be faithful and trustworthy servants of Jesus Christ. Having heard Paul's exhortation to do our best to present ourselves to God as those who have his approval, a question arises. What exactly is the work carried out in the church for which God's approval will rest on us? In responding, Paul gives a succinct answer: rightly handling the word of truth. Now, we can assume that the sacraments are included in this proper handling of the word, for the word of truth is intimately involved with baptism and the Lord's Supper. However, in this brief homily, our focus will be on the use of Scripture. The Greek verb, which is translated handle rightly, orthotomeo, occurs only here in the New Testament. Its basic meaning is to cut along a straight line, or to cut a straight road, or to cut in a straight direction. Scholars like to use the metaphors of plowing a straight furrow, or of a mason cutting and shaping a stone so that it will fit properly into its place. One commentator thought of Paul cutting straight the camel hair cloth used for tents. We handle the word of truth rightly when we keep its message straight. That is, when we proclaim the truth of Scripture in its purity, in its fullness, when we present the whole counsel of God's word. We must not, as one author explained, wander to the right or left, but keep a straight course forward in the path of truth. We see the necessity of following sound biblical Lutheran principles of interpretation. The result is that our preaching, teaching, and counseling will be Trinitarian. This is of utmost importance, as we know from the creeds, and because of the strength of Mormonism in certain parts of this country and the rise of Islam around the world. We also then will proclaim the true law and the true gospel and maintain the proper distinction between them. We will not water down the law due to pressure from society. Instead, we will use the law to crush people in their transgressions, to show them that left to themselves, they are sinners without hope on the road to hell. But we will also delight in speaking forth the gospel in all of its beauty and power and comfort. We will not be ashamed to hold before the eyes of our people and the world a bloody, crucified Christ, the world's Redeemer, who did not stay in the tomb but who arose from the dead. We will set forth in this world with a multiplicity of religions, all of which have a works righteous theology, the pure, simple, straight gospel. This good news is that we are saved solely by God's grace, that forgiveness of sins and everlasting life are certain in connection with Jesus Christ, and that a person is saved only through faith in Jesus Christ. In teaching and preaching law and gospel, we are first of all preaching to and teaching ourselves. We too are poor, miserable sinners, who nevertheless will live forever with God in heaven and in the new creation, only because of the merits of Christ, which are reckoned to us through faith. In handling the word of truth rightly, we will give our people straight advice concerning living. We will urge them on to the life of sanctification. This is a matter of the third use of the law and of gospel motivation and power. They will see that they have a blessed purpose to life and will rejoice in living to God's glory. Rightly handling the word, we will present the word which goes straight to the heart of our listeners. That is, we will, as God gives us wisdom, present to and expound for them that right portion of Scripture which they need to hear at that particular point in time in their particular situation. And that will be for their spiritual welfare. In response to Paul's advice, we pray, "Thank you, God, for our salvation and for leading us to be workers in your church. Help us always to do our best to present ourselves to you as faithful and trustworthy servants and actually to be such laborers. Grant that we may ever be workers approved by you." In Jesus' name, amen.